Your Excellency, the Director General of FAO, Your Excellencies, the Co-Chair of the International Europulses Steering Committee, Your Excellencies, the members of the Steering Committee of the International Year of Pulses, the Secretariat of the International Year of Pulses, distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen. It is certainly a great pleasure and honor for me to contribute to this important event. In this occasion, I would like really to thank the General Assembly of the United Nations as well as FAO for designating 2016 for the International Year of Pulses, the crops that are really most important for food and the nutritional security, although unfortunately they are the most underutilized and underinvested crops, although they are so important to the human welfare. And I want also to thank as well all those who are contributing to this important year, where I want to add the soil health and the sustainability of productivity is so important when we put these crops within the production systems. I will be talking about pulses for food security, nutrition, and environment. This has been already well covered, but my focus will be on the role of science and technology to enhance food security and production of pulses. Next, please. As we all know, we have great challenges in agriculture coming up as the world population is going really to grow up to 9 billion in 2050. We know very well that demand for food and energy will jump 70 and 100% respectively for fresh, for these two major important commodities, and for fresh water, the need will be 30%. Unfortunately, in the past, only 12 crops received major attention of scientific intervention, and pulses were not really among those. The big challenge for the world community is how to expand agriculture output without further constraining natural resources. Next, please. Why pulses? As mentioned, improved food security, we'll talk more about that. Improved nutritional health, improved livelihood through add-value products, and sustain natural resources because of their nitrogen fixation ability. Next, please. Now, pulses offer many nutritional benefits. We've heard that. They are really three times richer in low-fat protein as compared to cereals, including rice and wheat. Pulses have complementary amino acid profile with cereals, and they are rich in micronutrients, particularly iron and zinc, and they are a source of good carbohydrates, which make pulses a great functional food, and they are high in dietary fiber. Next, please. Now, look at this effect of lentil diet on anemic Sri Lankan children after 60 years. Look at the hemoglobin increase after 60 days only, and look at the increase in iron in the blood, which is very, very important. The other aspects I want to share with you is the profile for lentil, field pea, and the chickpea compared to rice with respect to protein and micronutrients. They are really 6 to 7 times more in protein than rice. And when it comes to micronutrients, this slide is very self-explanatory. Next, please. Now, why the complementarity of cereals and food legumes is so important to provide a balanced diet? Food legumes are high in protein and lysine. They are low in sulfur-containing amino acids. While cereals, they are low in protein and lysine, but high in sulfur-containing amino acids. Therefore, when we combine food legumes and cereals, we will get a balanced diet. And this is why a sandwich of falafel in the Middle East and North Africa and ful and tu'miyyah in Egypt gives the low-income communities very balanced diet at a very low price. Next, please. Now, biofortification of pulses is one of the major areas of focus in research. And in Bangladesh, I want to mention the national program in collaboration with ICARDA are now growing lentil in about 145,000 hectares, producing 185 tons for domestic consumption, which is very important for human nutrition. Next, please. Now, enhancing soil productivity and soil health through biological nitrogen is very important. Many research has been done on the best nitrogen-fixing bacteria. in order to enhance soil fertility and enhance soil productivity. And that's why pulses does not need nitrogen from the air. Next, please. Now, the other important for pulses, they are climate-smart crops with less water requirement. Dal, which is really split lentil or chickpea, consumes only 1250 liters of water, while 1 kilogram of chicken will consume 4,300 liters of water. Mutton will consume 5,500 liters, while beef will consume 35,000 liters of water for 1 kilogram. Next, please. Now, grass pea, which is really grown in India, in Bangladesh, and in Ethiopia, is known to be most tolerant to excessive drought and water logging as well. And in the logged farms in both the highlands of Ethiopia and Bangladesh, this is the only crop that is left in the field when we have a water logging problem. Next, please. Now, when we come to pulses production, you can see that there is an increase both in the production as well as in the area under pulses. But when we talk about consumption, as His Excellency, the Director General of FAO mentioned, the consumption is going down. Next, please. Now, look at the gap between production and demand or consumption. Certainly, there is a very wide gap, and the challenge for us is how to bridge this gap. Again, science and technology will play an important role. Next, please. This is really shows the regions where are deficit in pulses. South Asia is very deficient. The Near East and North Africa, as well as Latin America, is also deficit in pulses production. Next, please. Now, what science can do to enhance productivity and production of pulses? Next, please. Now, of course, the strategy for enhancing pulses will include the crop genetic improvement and new genetic gains for improved varieties with respect to their yield potential, with respect to their tolerance and resistance to biotic and abiotic stresses, a vertical increase in productivity through sustainable intensification of production systems, where we have to close the yield gap, which is about 25 to 60% in pulses. We need also to go for horizontal expansion in acreage because cereal monoculture is becoming very serious after pulling out the pulses from the rotation. And the reason for that is the government policies has been subsidizing cereals at the expense of pulses. And this is something very, very serious. And I want to commend the Indian government for giving subsidies to pulses last year, which is very important to promote pulses production. Of course, the other big area where we need to put more investment is post-harvest losses, reducing post-harvest losses. Next, please. Now, this is one example in West Asia and North Africa where spring chickpea, which is grown usually on residual moisture, has been moved to become a winter chickpea by incorporating resistance to cold and Ascochyta blight disease resistance. Now, this winter chickpea, which is grown in January and February instead of March and April, can simply double the yield with the farmers. Next, please. This is the very good example on drought-tolerant variety in Turkey. This is called the Kukçe variety, which has been released by the Turkish National Program in collaboration with ICARDA. This variety covers 85% of the 550,000 hectares with yield advantage of about 300 kilograms per hectare. And I want to mention in the serious drought in West Asia and Turkey, it was the only crop that the farmers could make money on, and the estimated monetary value of that was $165 million. Next, please. Now, this is the good example of when the government put agriculture high in its agenda. This is the Ethiopian government has invested a lot in agriculture in the last 7 to 8 or 9 years. And they really, in 10 years, I have to mention, lentil was production was tripled, fava bean production was increased 40 times, and chickpea was increased 60 times. This is a farm visit for a farmer by the state His Excellency, the State Minister, who asked the farmer, "How are you doing these days?" The farmer told him, "This is the second time in my life that I have money in the bank." He asked him why. He said, "Because lentil prices are four times what they used to be, and my production or productivity is three times what it used to be. Not only that, and after I grow wheat after lentil, I use only 50% of the nitrogen fertilizer." This is, remember, a smart, illiterate farmer who was addressing His Excellency, the minister, state minister in Ethiopia. And the minister laughed and he told me, "You know, pulses are in 210, where really export pulses, we were exporting more pulses to the Middle East and India than we were exporting coffee, which is a strategic crop, to Ethiopia." This tells you what science and technology can do. Next, please. This is fast-tracking iron and zinc-rich lentils that are released. Next, please. Released in several countries, including Ethiopia, Bangladesh, India, Nepal, Syria, Turkey, and Portugal. Next, please. This is the climate-resilient fava bean, which is heat-tolerant varieties in Sudan, where the productivity has increased, production has been increased to 150,000, really from 40,000 in 1995. And I have to mention the productivity was increased by 60 kilograms per hectare. The other example is in Egypt, where Masr 3, Urubensha-resistant, Urubensha is a serious parasitic weed, resistance were released, and Nubaria 2 and 3, where they are really drought-tolerant, and they really enhance self-sufficiency of fava bean in Egypt. Next, please. This is the other work on science, is resistance to insect and diseases. This is the insect of chickpea to leaf miner and pod borer, which is a serious insect pest on the chickpea. Next, please. This is the early varieties of lentils, which are very important for multiple cropping. Next, please. Of course, pulses offer a scope for diversification of cereal-based systems. As I mentioned, the monoculture cereal is very detrimental to the soil, and we have really to encourage pulses in rotations. And that's why, next please, we are really able, as we will see, this is enhancing profitability of pulses through mechanical harvesting and add-value product. But the next slide, next please, will show the early lentil varieties that are replacing fallow rice rotation in both Bangladesh and India. This is 18 million hectares of fallow rice rotation, which means that the farmer can produce now lentil or mung bean or other pulses on this fallow 18 million hectares. Next, please. This tells you how pulses are becoming cash crops. Look at the increase in steep rise in the food prices in India over 30 years. Pulses really stick out high because of their demand. Next. This is the consumption of pulses, which has gone down, unfortunately, over years and compared to other crops. And this is what His Excellency, the Director General of FAO, referred to, that we need to put more effort into that to enhance consumption. Next, please. How to raise awareness about pulse benefits? We need to include pulses benefits in school curriculum among children, innovations in pulses products and ready-to-eat products, messages by celebrities and eminent personalities about the benefit of pulses in electronic media and print, national, regional, and global events involving participation of general public and celebrities, short documentary film on benefits on pulses. Next, please. This is the Global Pulse Federation map for the various activities of pulses, and I want to commend here the Global Pulses Federation of the private sector, who are really with FAO promoting many activities all over the world to celebrate this event. This is so important in 2016, and it's an opportunity for all of us to promote production and consumption. Next, please. Now, what's the conclusion and the recommendations? Pulses, I don't want to repeat, are so important for food and nutritional security for the reasons that I mentioned before. They do have environmental benefits and mitigation of climate change. Here, as I mentioned, pulses production enhance soil nitrogen content and soil productivity. And I want to mention here, production of pulses have lower greenhouse gas emission than crops that require nitrogen fertilization and lower fossil energy cost than crops that need also nitrogen fertilization. Next, please. So pulses for environmental benefit and mitigation, this is again the inclusion of legumes in farming system accelerates soil carbon sequestration and promotes soil health, since also it breaks the disease and insect cycles in soils created by the prevailed cereal monoculture. Considering the nutritional and environmental benefit of pulses, it is essential for all of us to enhance pulses consumption, which we all should encourage. It is also important to bridge the gap between production and consumption at both national and global levels, and there is an urgent need to invest more in science and technology to enhance pulses production, as well productivity production, and reduce production cost. The International Year of Pulses is an excellent opportunity to promote the consumption of pulses, invest more in science and technology to increase pulses production as well as the consumption of pulses. I would like to mention from this platform that ICARDA is highly committed to work with FAO and all of you in order to enhance the productivity and consumption of pulses. And thank you very much.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I am actually really delighted to be able to present to you the action plan for the International Year of Pulses 2016. Of course, 2016 is a really important year. It's the first year of implementation of the new SDG agenda, Agenda 2030. And I believe that Pulses is going to be making an important contribution to many of the areas in that agenda. Of course, nutrition, of course, ending hunger, soil conservation, biodiversity, health, many parts in which an increased consumption of pulses is going to have an important effect and an important impact on that agenda. Now, the International Year of Pulses is expected not only to promote, disseminate the benefits of pulses, but also to enable knowledge exchange among the countries, the scientists, the farmers, the researchers, academia, private sector, civil society organizations, and indeed they are all represented in the International Steering Committee. So the International Steering Committee is going to be using all of its different constituencies to be able to promote the pulses and the benefits that they bring. So the idea is also creating synergies among the partners and laying foundations, also the legacy of the year, for medium and long-term projects, also promoting development strategies, policies, and that will be in the long term promoting production, consumption, and trade of pulses. Identifying knowledge gaps is also quite important throughout the year. Now, in this context, the implementation of the action plan is important, bringing in all of the different actors and relying very much already on the members of the International Steering Committee. Now, of course, the action plan is a living document. It is being updated. It will be constantly updated throughout the year. As of now, it contains the guidelines, the objectives, the main outcomes that we wish to achieve, but also a number of the activities. And I would say it's actually amazingly populated already, even before the launch, which is today. And in that context, I'd really like to recognize the role of GPC, the Global Pulse Confederation, in terms of giving already a huge amount of effort and emphasis and very dynamically promoting the year, even before its official launch. Now, within the activities of the International Year of Pulse Action Plan, I'd just like to give you a couple of examples. Of course, outreach activities are going to be very important. We're going to be including information dissemination, publications. The website is already up and running for some months. Media event, national, regional, global levels, naturally. There are going to be massive regional and global awareness-raising campaigns. And they will be aiming at enabling discussions between the different actors, so civil society, the farmers, of course, are fundamental. They are the ones who, in the end, are going to take the knowledge to the actual field. The private sector, researchers, government representatives, policymakers. So policy dialogue is going to be fundamental among all of these different actors. Throughout the year, we are going to be holding regional events that will be aiming to understand the state of the art on the pulses on in each region, looking at opportunities and challenges, including looking at the policy environments and looking at come to an agreement on common priorities for advocacy and promotion of pulses at both regional and the global level. Now, obviously, investments is going to be very important. Promoting investments, as Dr. Sol just mentioned, we are very aware of the underinvestment in pulses, and this is going to be one thing we're going to be looking at, hopefully together with all of you, how to increase the investments. So we're going to have a global policy dialogue where I believe this is going to be an important aspect. Of course, the bulk of the activities is going to be happening at country level. Country level is actually where the action takes place, where the production, we hope, is going to be increased, where the consumption, we hope, is going to be increased. And we already have in place a number of national committees. These committees have been very important throughout the different years, in the year of family farming, the year of soils. This is actually where we have knowledge exchange and disseminating of the messages of the year. Throughout the previous years, we had national committees in 60, 70, 80 countries, depending on the year, and outreach activities in around 150. So we also expect to be going that way with the year of pulses. Now, one important activity in the year is going to be a food composition database. We will be looking to develop a complete nutrient profile for selected pulses. And we believe with that, we're also going to be contributing to increasing consumption. Throughout the year, we hope that there's going to be a lot of activity on research, a lot of development of scientific papers and studies, looking, for example, at the relationships with climate change. We will be developing a report on world pulses economy, looking at recent market trends, production, yields, utilization, consumption, international trade, prices, and so on. There's a lot of things that are already happening. There's even more that we will be realizing next year. But then, of course, the activities that will be realized depend on the level of funding. And we can only use voluntary contributions to implement the year. I'd like to acknowledge the pledge that we already have from the Global Pulse Confederation of $200,000. But the actual year is going to be depending on how each and every one of us, through the International Steering Committee, but also through each and every one of the constituents here present, are able to promote the activities, to take the messages, to disseminate the benefits of pulses. And we are sure that in a year's time, here maybe in Rome, we'll close the year, we will be happily saying how much pulses have been known and how much both production and consumption has increased. Thank you very much.
Honorable Director General, Ambassador Aydın Sezen of the Permanent Representative of Turkey, Director General of ECADDA, Member States representatives, representatives of Rome-based UN agencies, civil society, private sectors, and farmer organizations, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor for Pakistan to co-sponsor with Turkey the initiative for declaring the year 2016 as the International Year of Pulses, as well as being the co-chair of the steering committee for the year's implementation. In South Asia, which is the largest producer and consumer of pulses in the world, farmers have grown pulses since millennia. Archaeologists have discovered traces of pulses production in the Indus Valley civilization dating back to 3,300 years BC. Throughout the ages, pulses have contributed to providing nutritionally balanced food to the people of South Asia. Pulses continue to be an important source of diet, particularly for the poor. The term dal roti literally connotes poor man's diet. The health and nutritional benefits of pulses are well known. Pulses are also an important source of plant-based proteins for the animals. Pulses have important benefits for the soil and the environment. Pulses and legumes fix atmospheric nitrogen into the soil and have been used for maintaining soil fertility through crop rotation, mixed and intercropping. They can be grown in a variety of soil and climatic conditions. Therefore, there is an important connection between the ongoing International Year of Soils and the International Year of Pulses. Pulse crop gives ready cash to farmers and can play an important role in promoting development, poverty eradication, and fostering sustainable food production, thereby contributing to food security and nutrition. Increasing the production of pulses could help feed the world in a sustainable manner, as the global population is expected to surpass 9 billion by 2050. Pulses can therefore contribute to the achievement of Sustainable Development Goal 2 of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, as well as the Zero Hunger Challenges introduced by the UN Secretary General in 2012. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations General Assembly, through its resolution A68-231, approved the implementation of the International Year of Pulses 2016 with the following objectives: encourage connections throughout the food chain to better utilize pulse-based proteins, further global production of pulses, better utilize crop rotation, and address the challenges in the trade of pulses. The steering committee constituted for implementation of the year, which Pakistan and Turkey are co-chairing, comprises all the important stakeholders that have a role in the production and trade of pulses. These include member states, the Rome-based UN agencies, and Biodiversity International research organizations such as ICADA and GAFAR, and representatives from the civil society, private sectors, and farmers' organizations. The steering committee has been working actively and diligently for the past 6 months for preparing the action plan of the year, designing various activities, as well as resource mobilization for attaining the objectives set forth in the UNGA Resolution 68-231. The action plan, which was introduced by Director Marcela Villarreal, is a living document that lists activities organized by the internal and external actors during 2015 and 2016. It will be continuously updated for new activities organized in connection with the year. I would therefore urge all stakeholders to consider organizing events for promoting important aspects of pulses during the year. Member states in particular have the most important role to play for promoting pulses and implementing the year. They are encouraged to contribute national committees for celebrating of the year. Member states should also take actions that help in increasing production and productivity of pulses, as well as support research and development activities towards these ends. As 2016 is the year of implementation of the 2030 Agenda, the International Year of Pulses will also link the contribution of pulses to critical targets under SDG 2, particularly on food excess, malnutrition, smallholder incomes and sustainable and resilient agriculture. An important aspect of the International Year is the development of the Food Composition Database on Pulses. This database will hold solely analytical data of sufficient quality collected from published and unpublished literature, with special emphasis on biodiversity and their relation to agriculture and processing features. Resources are critical for the implementation of the year. According to Resolution 68/231, activities for the year can only be funded from voluntary contributions, including from the private sector. The indicative budget for the year is US$487,000. FAO has established a multilateral trust fund for the International Year of Pulses. The steering committee would encourage all stakeholders to generously contribute to the trust fund. Funds are particularly required for holding of the regional dialogues, which FAO plans to organize. I would take this opportunity for thanking the Global Pulse Confederation for its generous contribution to the trust fund, part of which is dedicated towards the development of the Food Composition Database on Pulses. Ladies and gentlemen, while implementing the International Year of Pulses, the following aspects must be considered. First, there is a need to avoid adverse impact on the population that are dependent on pulses as their main dietary source. Already in recent times, there has been an increase in the price of pulses in South Asia, making them unaffordable for the poor, for whom pulses were the main dietary source. In this scenario, the term dal roti sounds inept. Therefore, the goal of promoting pulse consumption must be balanced by an increase in production, particularly in the main pulse-consuming countries. Second, the year must focus on improving productivity in developing countries where pulse crops are planted on marginal lands and grown under rain-fed conditions, which explains their low yields and large year-to-year production variability. Third, focus must be given to research for enhancing productivity of pulses. The absence of technology and quality seeds is a key reason for low productivity of pulse crops. Pulse crops are also exposed to natural disasters and effects of changing environmental conditions. Investment in research and development, both in the public and the private sector, focused on improved seed varieties that are resistant to pests, adaptable to effects of climate change, as well as having improved productivity, is critical for enhancing production of pulses. Fourth, enhance extension services for the farmer in developing countries will go a long way in improving productivity of pulses and income levels of the farmers. Fifth, partnerships across the food chain are critical for improving the pulse sector. We hope that the year would foster such partnerships, particularly between governments, private sector, and the civil society. Sixth, as in other areas related to agriculture, South-South cooperation is essential for achieving the goals and objectives of the International Year of Pulses. In conclusion, I would like to express my gratitude to all members of the steering committee for their support and contributions. In particular, I would like to thank Marcela Villarreal and her team for their hard work in putting together this launch ceremony. I would also like to thank all of you for your presence here and hope that with our joint efforts, this year will be a big success. I thank you all.